Hello. Welcome to I Am Wisdom with your host, Katrina Cavanaugh. I Am Wisdom is all about the connection between mind work and energy work, spirituality, and finding easy, everyday ways to heal your life. Katrina Cavanaugh is a qualified therapist and one of Australia's leading intuitives and spirituality coaches. Katrina will be taking your calls and bringing you some special guests. Settle in, relax, and enjoy the healing on I Am Wisdom with Katrina Cavanaugh on Om Times Radio.
Hi, you're listening to Katrina Cavanaugh, and this is I Am Wisdom on Om Times Radio. Welcome to the show, and I hope that wherever you are listening, you are having a wonderful moment, because all that we have really is the moment that is before us. Well, what a week it's been. How's your week been? It's always shocks me when I'm talking on radio that everyone who's listening doesn't respond like in a normal phone call. So I remember years ago when I first started doing my own radio show, the sound of the silence was a little bit intimidating. But these days, it's of course, I'm used to it. But yeah, but anyway, I'm asking that question. How has your week been? How's your health been? How's your physical health been? How's your mental health been? How has your life been? How have your relationships been? These are all the things that are really important and core to having a really amazing life. Yeah. So I hope your week's been good, it's been healthy, and it's been full of all the good stuff that you deserve. This week for me has been, well, it's been an amazing roller coaster. I'm pretty sure I mentioned last week that I was having some amazing experiences from a health point of view myself. Those experiences have continued this week, and it's a funny thing because I'm functioning really well, still doing all my usual bits and pieces and, you know, attending to clients, and when I've got someone sitting in front of me and I'm being of service, it's really easy and I'm focused and I'm me. But I'm finding as I step away from that my little health crisis is becoming more. Well, it's getting better. It's getting better, definitely. I'm definitely healing and I'm getting better. However, it's certainly it's noticeable in my life. And, you know, it made me wonder, I've had this theme this week of clients that I was talking with, and then obviously my own experience about the things that we do in times of extreme stress that are out of character. So I thought today that could be the topic of the show. What are the things that we all do in times of extreme stress that are out of character? And I thought I could share some de-identified stories of some clients that I've worked with over the years as examples of some of the things that people do that are completely out of character. And then I thought I would talk through with you some of the basic steps that I share with some of my clients to help them through those times when they have acted out of character, when you have a scenario where, you know, you've said and done things and afterwards or even during that moment you're thinking, goodness me, who's that? This isn't me. Why am I doing and saying that, or why did I do and say that? And then, of course, you feel bad, you feel hurt, you feel the guilt, you feel awful, and you usually can be quite critical and judgmental of yourself. So, and of course, that can contribute to a greater downward spiral in your life. So I wanted to do this show because I think it's important. Look, there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on in this thing we call life and the relationship that we have with others and relationships we have ourselves that just simply aren't spoken about. So, for example, another example, which will, you know, that's become really obvious to me, is the area of intrusive obsessional thinking. You know, this is something that I talk with my clients and I experience myself sometimes, where you experience these intrusive obsessional thoughts and, you know, there's no place for them. You know, there's no place in reality, but yet they can be part of your life. I work with some extremely successful people and in their life, you know, they might do well in business, or they might be doing well in their, as a mother or a father, you know, they're extremely successful in that way. And, you know, highly functioning people, you know, running households, looking after children, running businesses, you know, whatever. And yet they suffer from intrusive obsessional thoughts. So this topic isn't also talked about a lot. So there's that plus the area that we're talking about today, which is, know, the things that we do and say at the times of extreme stress, there's not much time to talk to, not many people talk about that, do they? They sort of, they're moments that happen and we might go to our therapist and talk it over or chat with our friend about it, or we may say nothing at all and, you know, we just want to completely put that stuff behind us, absolutely put that stuff behind us. So that's the topic of today's show. Before we get onto that topic, I'd like to thank once again everyone for listening and all the people that are sharing the knowledge that my show exists with their Facebook friends and other friends and family, because I am getting more and more people writing to me each week, which is really nice to get those messages. Again, I had a beautiful message from a woman who read my book, Wisdom for Your Life, this week. It was just, it really stood out amongst, you know, it was such a beautiful message where she said that reading the book made a big difference in her life. And I'm just so grateful for that. You know, it's I can't tell you what it's like. I do my best to write back to everyone. Sometimes I'm better, some days I'm better than that than others, but, you know, I do the best I can. So yeah, it's really, really lovely to receive those emails, and I'm very grateful. And if you feel inspired to write to me, then, you know, please do. And I love to receive them. To write to me, you can get onto my website at katrinakavanagh.com, which is Katrina, KATRINA, Kavanagh, KAVANOUGH.com. You can get online there and you can write to me through my website, through the contact page. You can also connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/KatrinaKavanagh. Again, that's KATRINACAVANOUGH. I'm also on Instagram under, I think it's _KatrinaKavanagh. And I'm also on Twitter at KATKavanagh777. So you can find me in all of those places, and I'm really grateful if you'd like to reach out to me and talk about that. You can also, I'm looking to answer some questions today. So if you have a question about your own experience of, you know, having times or a time in your life when you've been under extreme stress, where you've acted in an out of character kind of way, I would definitely encourage you to, if you want to write in to me today on the show, jump on my Facebook page and send me a message there. The link will be up soon at the next break. So just jump on there and send a message, and I'm happy to answer your questions. Or you may have an intuitive question for me today, a psychic question that you'd like me to look at and answer. I'm happy to do that because I love doing that work as well. So in other news this week, I'm very excited to say that I'm finally I've put on a new person to help me as an admin assistant or administration officer in the management of the admin side of my business. I've recruited that person to begin. We're going to begin with 10 hours of work and then to get rid of the backlog, and then I'm hoping to continue that person on. So that will mean that I'll have someone to help me out with that stuff. So some people call that person a PA. Some people call them an admin person. Well, it doesn't matter. They're there to help, and I'm just really grateful that I've taken that step today. It's really good. It's really good. So I hope you can find me at those places. That's really good. So today, let's get started on our topic of conversation, which is when we do the kinds of things that we can do at times of extreme stress that are out of character. Now, when you think about it, the range of behaviours that we can engage in when we are in a state of distress can completely range from, you know, people have murdered people at times of distress, and I've certainly had clients that I've worked with over the years who are actually fit into that category, and so I've had to do a lot of work with them on, you know, that very challenging question of, you know, they've done that crime, they've done some time for that, and they're now back in the community, and they're looking at ways of working through how they feel about that. Now, when I say murder, I should be clear, they may have actually murdered, or they may have and then had a manslaughter charge, so they only did about a few years in jail and then they're out. And then also people who have had, you know, motor vehicle accidents with their mates and their mates died, you know, that kind of scenario. So as you can appreciate, that's a very heavy burden to bear. And the work with that, with those kinds of people can be slow, and that's how it needs to go. That's the pace that it needs to go, because you have to support those people to get in connection with their own feelings about what's happened and what they've done, what their behaviour's led to, and then get not comfortable, certainly, because how can you ever be comfortable with the fact that, or even in a state of acceptance, that happened. But to get to a place where they can live a life still and every day give recognition to the life that is lost as a point of as a point of regard and respect for that, the loss of that person's life, yet still move forward in their own life and find a way to be able to live a life that has some form of okayness about it. And I realise that this is a contentious topic, because there'll be people listening here that may have suffered as a result of someone's grave mistake or grave expression of anger in times of distress. I'm not talking about these horrible psychopathic and sociopathic individuals that plan, calculate and carry out such crime, but I'm talking about people who have driven recklessly in anger and there's been a car accident and the person's died, or, you know, being angry, you know, alcohol-induced rage and jumped in the car and then something's happened, or, you know, being a perpetrator of domestic violence and then they have harmed and killed their partner. And I realise how contentious this is, everyone. I'm hearing you all. I can feel it, you know, literally. But there's still work to be done with these people. And the truth is that I've had to do some of that work. Not a lot of it, but a little bit of it. And I've always done my best to honour the crime, but then help this person find a way to something, some better version of themselves, because that's ultimately what we want, is that rehabilitation. Talk more about this heavy topic after the break. Stay tuned.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hello, it's Katrina Kavanagh here, and you're listening to I Am Wisdom on Om Times Radio. So at the moment, today's show is all about the experience of what happens to us when we behave out of character in times of extreme stress, and how do we, you know, kind of almost live with ourselves and find our way past that, and how can we manage that in, you know, moving forward in the future. Now, I was sharing with you quite a heavy example of a few people I've worked with over the years that have actually engaged in the most extreme form of this, being in a place of extreme stress, and as a result of the behaviour that came when they were in a state of extreme stress, the result has been the loss of someone's life. And my job has been to provide therapy to those people. Not a lot, but I've had a decent amount of people over the years, because I used to work in the area of forensic drug and alcohol. So these people in and out of jail, and, you know, really tricky life experiences, which led to really tricky life choices. So in that work, you know, my role was to do all I could to help that person find the goodness that they still had within themselves, to form a better view of themselves, even in those harsh examples, and, you know, moving forward, therefore be better people in the way they treated others, better people in that they could learn to look after their feelings a lot better, learn to understand their feelings a lot better, to prevent something like that ever happening again. So that was essentially my work. Now, moving away from that very heavy example, and before I move away, I would like to recognise that there could be people listening who have lost a loved one through such a behaviour from another person. And for you, I say I always included a lot of work in the therapy which was empathy-based, and was completely about recognition of the impact of that person's crime upon the people who were affected. Okay, I'm in a room and I need to turn the heater off because I'm boiling, so I'm about to do that. Did you hear that? Beep. So, but that's the extreme end of the continuum. Along the other end, let's go from that far, far, far extreme end of behaviour that can happen in extreme stress. Come with me, and we're jumping on the train, we're travelling along the track, and we've come to the other end of that continuum. Ooh, that feels lighter. Ooh, there we are. And that end of the continuum is basically where most of us sit, okay, with some of us spending, we occasionally will visit somewhere in the middle, but the most of us sit at the other end of the continuum, which is all about moments in time where, you know, we'll have, for example, parenting, for goodness sake, you know, where something will happen and we're extremely stressed and we're hurried and we're rushed and we might speak more harshly to our children than we would ever want to. So there's one example. I work with, you know, people who over the years, obviously I do a lot of relationship therapy, and the relationship therapy that I've done with people, I've worked a lot with couples where, of course, in anger, there are some horrendous things said to each other, horrendous things. And it's those kind of moments, right, when people are in a state of fight or flight, in distress, and they're very reactionary, they're reacting rather than responding, and certain things are said in relationships. So that's one example I have, is in relationships, relationship with our children, and love relationships and intimate relationships as well. We know that there might be times, for example, in the workplace where, you know, you might have accumulation of stress over time, and over time, you feel the stress builds up. And sometimes the trick with the accumulative nature of stress is that we aren't always aware of it. It just gently, gently, gently simmers away there and just gradually becomes more and more increasing. And we're not sometimes aware of how significant that stress is until one day it pops over and that's it. So there's a few examples there of how, you know, we can lose our cool and engage in harsh words or harsh behaviour towards another person. Now, usually these are people that we care about, because where else does this play out? And we can leave ourselves feeling extremely distressed and really upset with ourselves and extremely remorseful and, you know, but I like to help people to understand why And then to be able to give some compassion to the situation, if not themselves, the situation first and then themselves, and then be able to create a new reality of how they wish to experience themselves. So let me talk through with you. Leading up to the next break, which is in a few minutes, I want to talk through with you some of the steps that I encourage my clients and myself to take when these times come upon us, when we do things in times of extreme stress that are out of character. Okay. I also, before I do that, I want to validate just how common this stuff is. It is, I actually don't know one person who doesn't do this. I think if there's one person on the planet that can say, I am that one person who in times of extreme stress acts completely in accordance with my real self, then, you know, gosh, where are you? And please write in and tell me who you are. So for the rest of us, people, like as in everyone, the thing to be aware of is what's really happening, what's happening physically. So at a brain level, when we're feeling stress, the body looks to defend and protect itself. So what happens is the rational part of our brain is something that we cannot access in times of extreme stress. So the minute we perceive a threat, real or otherwise, okay, because this is the whole saber-tooth tiger phenomena that we had back in the caveman days where we would, you know, need this response in our beautiful brains. We would need that to keep ourselves safe, because if we didn't have this response, that we would just stand there and the tiger would come and eat us. So we have this very primitive part of our brain that when danger is perceived, we will move into that fight, flight, freeze, or submit state. Okay. Once we engage that part of the brain, we are unable to access the rational part of the brain. It literally closes off to us. Okay. And it just means that we're completely operating from that part of the brain. Now, for some people, and particularly if you look at the beautiful work of Eckhart Tolle, he talks about this in the form of the pain body, that when someone is in their pain body state, the place that they're truly acting from is a place of fight, flight, freeze, or submit. That's that reactionary pain state, because when you're in a place of fight, flight, freeze, and submit, it's all about suffering. Perception of suffering coming to you from another person or situation and needing to protect yourself from that. And then, of course, in the process of protecting yourself from that, you need to fight, flight, freeze, or submit. And fight, and most people will, a lot of people choose the fight. Those who freeze will often freeze initially, but then can become passive aggressive. And submit obviously leads to your own suffering. So it's either your own suffering or the suffering of another person. You either become a perpetrator or a victim in that moment. And it purely is you in, as Eckhart Tolle speaks about it, in your pain body state, and as I'm describing it, in a state of extreme stress where that part of your brain is completely shut down, the rational part, and the only part that's active is your fight, flight, freeze, or submit part of the brain. So, of course, it is therefore understandable when we look at it from an objective point of view that when you're in that state, you're going to say and do things that are out of character. You're going to do it. There is just no way around it. That is what's going to happen. Okay? It's what's going to happen. And the most important part of this is almost like an awareness that that is part of what it's like to be a human being. Okay? You can learn ways to be calm, to slow things down, to react less and respond more. You can learn, you can look at the way you are perceiving the world and shift the way you perceive threat. Because a lot of times, depending on our conditioning and programming, we will perceive threat when there isn't actually any threat there at all. Okay? So there are those things. So when the brain is in that place and you're in your pain body, you can do all kinds of things. And the most important thing that we need to begin to understand is to have that awareness is that this is what's going on. For some of the people that I work with who've had extremely traumatic history, I will describe this sometimes they will move into a disassociative state where they literally disconnect from the current situation and they move into a different reality. And in that different reality, they may go into that mode of needing to defend themselves. So sometimes the distress triggers them into a disassociative state and their experience of being in fight, flight, freeze or submit is even more pronounced, okay? It's more exaggerated. And that's where you do get some of those extreme behaviours like the crime of, you know, harming another to the point where it becomes a crime, okay? And that's why you'll find that most people who engage in that behaviour have an extensive and a significant and a severe trauma history because in those moments not only are they just in the regular fight, flight, freeze or submit primitive brain state that the rest of us have, they have laid upon that another layer of traumatic history which places them into another layer of experience of that, which is the disassociative state. And in that disassociative state, the act of fight, flight, freeze or submit is magnified, and that's why you get those extreme behaviours of such as physical violence, extreme verbal abuse, extremely shutting down, all of those kinds of things, okay? So they're the things that that's actually what's happening. What that does is it releases a whole lot of hormones within the body. We've got a lot of adrenaline. We've got cortisol moving through the body. Your heartbeat goes faster. You may begin to sweat. Your muscles tension, ready for action. And people can remain in this state for quite a considerable amount of time. And your thinking changes, of course, because you're thinking only from a place of fight, flight, freeze or submit, so completely reactive, all about keeping you safe and deflecting off the risk. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk to you about strategies that you can use in your everyday life so that you can manage your experiences of extreme stress. Stay with me.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, this is I Am Wisdom and you're listening to Katrina Kavanagh. And in today's show, we're talking about what happens to us in times of extreme stress and how we can behave in ways that are out of character. So today, so far, I've been talking about the kinds of things that happen to us in extreme stress and why we can behave in ways that are out of character. I've given you some examples of, you know, parenting examples. There's plenty of those. Any parent out there knows, you know. And also there is, and examples in relationships. Usually we find these experiences play out in areas where our relationships are important to us. So that includes things like, you know, our parenting, so our relationship with our children. It includes things like, you know, our love relationships or intimate relationships, our family of origin, and in our workplaces and in our work and businesses. So, of course, they're the areas. Occasionally, you know, this stuff plays out with the shopkeeper or the bank teller. In my case at the moment, I'm having a bit of negotiations with the bank around some not so great service, but we won't need to talk about that. So, you know, sometimes we can have these experiences and it can have an impact on us. However, you know, it's usually in those more intimate and closer relationships that we see that. Okay. So we've talked about those examples. The main message I'd love for you to take from this, if you take nothing else, is this happens to everyone. I can't think of one person, and if you are that one person, please write in and tell me that, you know, in times of extreme stress that you don't do one of the following: fight, flight, freeze, or submit. And sometimes people think, well, no, they might say, you know, the obvious things that cause harm are the fight response, where people can be aggressive. People see the flight response as being less harmful and also the freeze response as being less harmful and the submit response as being less harmful. But they are no less harmful, because when we look at the area of freezing, we're talking about emotionally shutting down, which means emotional abandonment. So let's just say we're in an interaction with our children or our loved one, something's happening and you're feeling threatened. So you go into a state of freezing, okay, and you disconnect emotionally. That's called emotional abandonment, okay, and for a child that is extremely harmful. And for our love relationships, it is stonewalling, and, you know, we've all been there, we've all done it, we're all human beings here, you know. Gosh, I live my life very much as a human being with lots of mistakes along the way, let me tell you that. So everything I talk about, I've done usually at different – well, most things I talk about, I should be careful there. Most things I talk about, I have done at different times because I'm human. So, you know, it's – but just to be aware that it's not only the fight response that is the most difficult and most damaging. The freeze response and the flight response are both examples of emotional shutdown, therefore emotional abandonment. It doesn't allow you to – it's harmful for the person on the receiving end, and it's harmful for yourself as well, because it doesn't allow you to truly represent your feelings and your rights and all responsibilities in the relationship. So, again, that's really destructive for you because it means you flee. So the flight fight, flight, freeze, and the freezing means that you will repress or suppress your emotions and therefore not address them. Your emotions sit there and they will come up and they will need to be addressed at some point in time. But if you keep on repressing and suppressing your emotions, they're going to find other ways to express themselves. And usually our repressed feelings express them. Our distress will always express itself in the form of in bodies and behavior. So it might come out in behavior later, or it will come out in our body with illness. Okay. Always with illness, and those are things that we don't want. So we can trick ourselves into thinking, oh, the worst is the aggressive fight response, but it's not necessarily. So we've all engaged in that, right? We've all engaged in it. It's really, really normal, and I want you to hear that. And when we are in times of extreme stress, like a conflict at work, conflict in our relationship, you know, a challenging time with your children, you are going to sometimes act out of character. And you know what? It's okay. It's not pleasant, and there are some things that need to be done after that, but you need to know that it's normal and it happens to everyone. So if you take nothing, take that message, please. Okay, has everyone got that? Got it? Yep, good. So we're moving now past the experience of the distressing event occurring, and you've then acted completely out of character. You may have yelled and screamed. You know, you may have been physically violent. They're the kinds of things that we're talking about here. So Let's talk about what are the important first steps. And these are the kind of concepts that I do apply when I'm working with men who are, or women who are, but usually it's men, who are engaging in, say, perpetrating act domestic violence. Okay. The first thing is awareness. Okay. So whenever we're doing any harm, so whether it's extreme domestic violence or whether we're said a crossword to our child or we've had it in, whatever it is, we've been angry at our family, whatever, the first step in the process is awareness. I promise you that I will get to empathy and the need to be aware of the impact of your behavior on other people. I will get to that, but it doesn't come first. And that might surprise you, but let me explain as we go along. So the first step is awareness. Awareness about what happened for you in that moment. Okay. Awareness of two things. The surface stuff, which is the content. So for you to understand what happened at a content level. So an example of that would be I had a fight with my wife. If I'm talking to a fellow, I had a fight with my wife. She yelled at me, pushed my buttons, and so I called her a really bad name. Okay. So it's getting understanding of what happened at the content. So what was the subject? What was the fight about? You know, what went on? You know, basically retelling, me bearing witness to the story. So it's important if you're not seeing a therapist to be at least writing down the content. Get yourself a journal and write down the content of what the conflict was actually about. Okay, at a content, at the topic. Was it about she didn't wash the car, he didn't put the oranges in the red bag, my child didn't clean their room, they didn't get ready for school, I had to ask them 9 times before they brushed their teeth. Every child parent knows that's a very common one. you know, those kinds of things. Whatever the topic is, write it out or go and talk to your therapist about it. The next step in awareness is looking at underneath the content, which is the dynamic. What is the dynamic in the relationship style that you have with that other person? You can look over several incidences, if there are there more than one, where there's been distress in the relationship and extreme stress. And the way you responded. And I can guarantee you that there will be a pattern. Now, for most people, it would be good to sit down with a therapist and sort that out. But if you are there doing it on your own, what I encourage you to do is think about pick 2 or 3 examples. Write out the content, get the subject matter out of the way, express that out. And then what I want you to look at is this process. They did and then fill in the blank. Or they said and fill in the blank. I felt fill in the blank. As a result of that feeling, I then said or did and described whatever it is that you said and behave, whatever your behavior is and what your words were. Then go back to the other person. The other person then said and did, because you can't report what they're feeling, you can only guess that. So you've got to report on your dynamic diagram what they gave you back. Right. Then, okay, you then felt, always get into the feeling space. What were you feeling when they responded to you or reacted to you? I felt like this, therefore I said or did this. And I want you to absolutely write out that pattern, always getting back in contact with when they said or did whatever, how did that make you feel? Okay, how did that make you feel? And then what was your reaction as a result? Then again, the next thing that they said or did, how did that make you feel? And then what was your reaction as a result? So start to map out the behavioral pattern and the relationship pattern that exists between you and that other person across different scenarios, okay? That's a really important part of the awareness process. The next part of awareness is all about what happens to you generally. So take yourself out of the scenario and what happens to you generally in times of extreme stress. What happens to you physically and what happens to you emotionally? And what happens to you at a thought level? What are the thoughts that you're thinking? Okay. It's important for you to especially educate yourself about your physical symptoms because one of the most key strategies that you can use in responding to distress is the art of breathing. And I know that sounds annoying, but it can be helpful. It can be helpful. So to be aware of what's happening with your body, always start with the physical, because the physical is the best access point. So it might be you go and take your bark flower remedy. You know, it might be you go and take your rescue remedy. It might be that you physically remove yourself from the situation and then go and grab a cup of tea and just sip slowly some water or a cup of tea. Get grounded in the physical first, okay? But first you need to become aware of what happens to your body when you're distressed. And then you can obviously respond appropriately with some steps you can take when you're in that state of distress. So that's the first, the next level of awareness as well, getting back to that physical. Once we've covered those areas of awareness, we've looked at the situation, we've looked at the subjects, matter, the content, we've looked at the relationship dynamic, we've looked at how then this distressing situation has an impact on ourselves individually and personally, because that's all you've got control over, looking at how it affects you physically, looking at how it affects you emotionally, and looking at your body's, your response at a psychological level. So what are the thoughts? You then have a whole body of information that you didn't have before about your relationship to distress. What happens for you in moments of distress? And it's from this empowered place that you can then consider and begin to make changes. Okay? Have we got that? So it's from this very empowered place of information that you can then consider and decide to make changes. All right? It's pretty powerful, this. So then the next step is, once you are aware and you have that full body of information, there are three steps remaining, okay? Or maybe four, sorry, I should add the fourth one. The first step, I prepared this last night, but I figured I just thought of something we want to add, so I'll go with the guidance. We're coming up to a break soon, so I'll talk more in detail about them after the break. But the first step is the separation of yourself from the behavior, okay? The separation of your true self from all that you're experiencing, all your distress, all your feelings and thoughts. And again, I'd reference, there's a lot of people who write about this, but the beautiful Eckhart Tolle writes beautifully about the concept of the self as being separate, as being the I, as being you are not your feelings, okay? You are not your experiences. So it's not I am angry, I am distressed. It is there is distress around me. It's not I am my thoughts of anger. It is I have thought, there are thoughts present. We're going to talk more about this after the break. Stick with me. I hope this is helpful. Talk soon.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, it's Katrina Kavanagh here, and you're listening to I Am Wisdom. And I hope you're hearing me loud and clear, because today I've got a different headset because I came into my office and didn't bring with me my wonderful, wonderful headset. So I'm hoping that it's not crackly and you're not missing words from my show. If you are, I'm sorry about that, and I'll do all I can not to do that again. So today on the show, we've been talking about, you know, what happens to us when we're in times of extreme stress and we act then in ways that are out of character. You know, we might have an incident with a child where we, we yell more than we need to. We might give them a smack when we consider ourselves to be parents who aren't smacking parents. By a smack, just to be clear, everyone, I just mean a smack. I don't mean closed fist hitting. I'm talking about, it's good to say that, just a regular smack. Many, many parents I've sat with who, you know, have been very anti-smacking will come in and with the saddest look in their eyes say, you know, I did lose my temper and I smacked my child. You know, wasn't, they'll then, you know, obviously say I didn't slap them around. I had one hit, you know, open-handed to the nappy bottom or one hit open-handed to the leg or something like that. And they'll be in a complete state of distress about it because that is not their usual way. That is not their character. And yet they will really suffer. They'll really suffer over that. And so I work with them and use the kind of strategies that I'm talking about today to really help them understand that they are a human being having a very normal response to an abnormal situation of distress. And they are literally reacting how they are programmed to react on an innate level. You know, our brains are programmed when we perceive, when we feel distressed, whether it's rational or not, that feels threatening, and we will either go into fight, flight, freeze, or submit. That's just what happens, you know. So it can happen, and we lose a bit of control, don't we? You know, let's be honest, we lose a bit of control there for a flicker. And we can then step out of that situation and think, goodness me, what did I do? Or I don't like what I did. Gosh, I said those words that were really cruel. This happens a lot in our love relationships, you know. And they have to then live with the experience of the fact that they actually did that. And as I said to you earlier, I've worked with people who've done some very, very serious things that have actually led to the loss of someone's life. So obviously that's the extreme end of the scenario. I've worked with parents who have been, you know, it's been investigated by our child protection services here in Australia, and it's been substantiated that they have severely been abusing their children. I've worked with those parents, and I've worked with the parents who weren't necessarily abusing their children but were present at the time where others were abusing. So by their act of omission, they contributed to that harm and abuse. They're the heavier end of the examples. But I work with everyday people too, you know, who at times of distress will either shut down and be emotionally unavailable to their partners and to their loved ones or the children, or who may act out, you know. So the main message from today's show is that please understand you are a human being having a normal response to what is your mind and body is perceiving as a distressing event. And sometimes that's because it is, you know. And we can do things that are completely out of character. So I'm stepping through some of the steps. So you need to, if you just tuned in, please grab the podcast, rewind it back a few more minutes ago, and you'll hear me talking about awareness and educating the self. The next step is about separating yourself from the behavior and the distress and your feelings and your thoughts about that. Again, I reference you to the beautiful work of Eckhart Tolle, where he really talks about the difference between the real you, the concept of self, the awareness. And for me, when I hear that, when I, you know, from my conversations with my spiritual team and my spiritual friends, from my experiences with, you know, hundreds of deaths at the hospital, you know, I learned that we are made of energy, you know, and the energy that we're made of, and it's in its purest and most natural form. And this is the field of energy that sits beyond our mind, body, soul. This is the field of energy that I refer to as your powerful spirit. This energy is the same energy as God and the universe, and therefore it is all wise and all knowing and ever present. It's compassionate and kind, and it is love, pure love. So that is the I. That is the I am, okay? And that field of energy that is you is completely, completely having an experience through and is observing the thoughts and the behavior that you actually believe maybe until this moment was actually who you were, okay? When really what I encourage people to realize is that, you know, the sense of themselves, the I, is actually observing the thoughts and the feelings that are sitting, that those thoughts and feelings and behaviors are not them. So, you, for example, you are not the anger. You know, so you can't be saying, I am an angry person. Well, you can say it, but may I coach you and encourage you not to say it. You're not the anger. You're not the frustration. You're not the behavior. You are simply a beautiful field of energy that is observing those experiences that you're having on the physical plane right now. There's a lot to be said about that, and that's a whole new show. The next step is when we are able to move through awareness, move through educating the self, looking after the physical emotion, then going through the separateness process where you realize that you are separate from your behavior and all of those things. It is only then, at that place, that soft, compassionate place, that I would ask you to consider the empathy that you may feel in relation to the impact of your behavior, thoughts or behavior on another person. Because it's from that very compassionate place that that can happen most effectively. Okay. By empathy, I'm wanting you to be aware of the fact that, yes, your behavior did hurt another person. It either physically hurt them or emotionally hurt them. And it's from that safe place of knowing that you are not your behavior and you are not your feelings, that you can really observe the fact that, yes, that behavior, those words did have an impact on the other person, and really allow yourself to feel what it would have been like for that person to hear those words or receive that behavior. Okay? To evoke in you that empathy for what you've done. And now from that place, that's the place, the most effective place, to go to that person either in word or, if not in word, in writing, and express your remorse if possible. Okay? And there's a whole process to the art of the apology, and that's a whole different show, but at least to be able to express your apology and then do all you can to help that person heal and restore them back to the place they were before this incident happened, as best you can. I'll have to do a whole show on that, won't I, about the art of the apology. I must do that. Making a note, people. So it's from there that the empathy is really felt. And then the final stage is compassion and empathy for yourself. By now you've moved through those stages of understanding and awareness. You can see that you are a human being having a very human response to a distressing event. You can see that your thoughts and feelings and behaviors are certainly present in your physical life, yet they are not the essence of who you are. And in that way, you can have a separateness. You can be aware of the empathy. You can engage your empathy and feel what it felt like to be that other person and feel the sadness and the sorrow that that behavior and that did cause toward the other person. And then you take the steps that you can take to convey that sorrow, right? To convey that sorrow and to repair and restore that person back to the best that you can. Then the next phase is the final step is that compassion and that empathy back towards yourself from a beautiful place of understanding. You have a choice at this point to move forward in a state of self-criticism, or you have a choice at this point to say, based on all the other steps that I've gone through, I hold a beautiful awareness of myself, a comprehensive understanding as to how I got to this point on this day where I acted in a way that was completely out of character with who I am and the values that I hold dear for myself. Okay? And from that place, I would put to you that it is easier. It is easy to have compassion towards yourself. I'm not asking you to forgive yourself. No, I'm not. But I'm asking you to have compassion for the fact that you, compassion and understanding as to why you may have behaved that way. I'm going to say that again. I'm not asking you to forgive yourself, not at this point. The first step is to have compassion and understanding towards yourself, not explaining, not excuses, none of that, as to why you behaved the way you did. I hope that this information has been helpful to you. It is my desire that you hear the show and that from this show you can actually, whether you're driving in your car or doing your ironing or, you know, whatever you're doing when you're listening to this show, that you can really take in the information and that it makes a real difference in your life. I feel very privileged that you've been listening to me very privileged. I don't take your time for granted, and I want to send to you right now the most infinite supply of gratitude for your time and your dedication and your commitment to listening to me. And I really hope that in return, the information I've provided to you today has been of service to you. Again, if you wish to contact me, then you can find me at my website, katrinakavanagh.com, at Facebook, which is facebook.com/KatrinaKavanagh. Instagram is the other place you can find me. And that's _KatrinaKavanagh. And also Twitter at @KatKavanagh. I think it's 888. Remember, the spelling of Kavanagh is a bit tricky, and it's CAVANOUGH. So really I should be saying Kavanagh, but in fact we pronounce it Kavanagh. So wherever you are today, I wish you the most wonderful week. Next week's show, we're going to do a bit of a lighter show. We're going to be talking about the power of numbers and the way that angels and our loved ones in spirit can communicate with us using numbers. So that's a fun show, and I'll certainly be interested in receiving your intuitive questions so that I have another way of being of service to you. You'll be able to pick up this show on a podcast. So if you're listening, you could be listening on a podcast. If you need to listen again, I encourage you, because there's a lot of content in today's show, I encourage you to pick up the podcast and listen. I would like you to do one thing, which is to share my show with one person that you think is important and that you care about. I would be grateful for that. In the meantime, enjoy your week. Take care and God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.